pastors the other day. We were meeting, we were praying, working on some things. And they said, "Harris, what do you think? What do you think's going to go on in the church?" I said, "Well, in the church," I said, "we're fixing to have massive amounts of people come to know Christ. I really believe that. Because here's what's going to happen. How many of y'all have realized that this statement's a lot clearer than it was when I said it to you 3 or 4 or 5 years ago? What we build doesn't hold up. That's a whole lot easier to understand with half your retirement gone. Think about it. I mean, there's a lot of you, y'all counting on your old man. This is permanent. What we make is permanent. Let me tell you, if you'll study history, there's not one era of history that human beings have built, sustained anything permanent. What do you think? I've been fortunate in my life. I've gotten to, you know, boot scoot boogie into some other parts of the world. And it's interesting that I've been in other parts of the world and I have gone and observed the leftovers, the ruins of great, powerful civilizations where at that moment of human history, they soared with all excellence. Some of them even believing their leaders were deities that walked among the human beings. Here's what I'm telling you. There is a God. He is for real, and He is permanent. And I want you to know He's the God of promise. That's what we're going to be working on. And man, it's tough. I don't know about you all, but I'm going to be really confessional. It's hard for me to believe what people tell me. What do you think? I bet it's hard for you all to believe what I tell you. Huh? I mean, sometimes you look and go, "Man, this is crazy. Did that really happen?" How many of y'all have a hard time believing what people tell you sometimes? Why? Come on, talk about it for just a minute. Why? I'm skeptical. How many of y'all have a skeptical mind? Let's take a survey. How many of y'all are skeptical? I mean, I'm skeptical of everything. I kid you not. Where two or more are gathered, somebody's up to something. I'm telling you. I'm skeptical. Now, watch this. Here's the way I have to view the world. I know right off the bat, I'm what? I know right off the bat I'm skeptical. So when I hear somebody tell me this goes on, that goes on, this is usually my response. And I found this would be a good one. We'll see. I mean, I get all these young guys, they come running in and say, "The Lord's called me to preach." Guess what my response is? We'll see. See, it's easy to get a phone call. It's hard to live out your calling. It's easy to go to revival and have an altar moment. It is difficult to be altered. See what I'm saying? It's easy to go to church on Sunday morning and shout hallelujah. It's Scottsville Road that gives you a problem on Monday morning. There's your difficulty. It is to really follow through with what God has said. Now, I want to take you, last week we talked about that God put a promise to Abram, and He put this promise in motion. If you read through the rest of the story, you would also see that God sealed the covenant. God marked Abraham with the promise by the removal of his foreskin. And He said, all of those who are going to follow me, you're going to be marked with a promise. How many of you realize that every one of you here have been tattooed, whether you know it or not? I know some of you have literally been tattooed. But every one of you spiritually have been tattooed. You bear the markings of Christ. How many of you all bear the marks of Christ in your life? You bear the things that He is doing in your life. If not, I hope you will. I desire that you will bear the markings of who? Christ. You're in a covenant. You're in a covenant. Now, what tends to be different about a covenant and a contract? A contract is an agreement between two parties. I won't get too legal here, but it's a tort. It's an agreement between two parties, right? You do this, you do that, and things work out, and as long as we keep the what? Agreement. Just a sideline today, I want you to know that marriage in the holy context is not a contract. One of the reasons we got a 56% divorce rate is many of you all have confused covenant and contract. Okay, a contract is, this is why we have so many divorces, because we think we're in a contract in marriage. You make me happy, I stay. You make me happy, I stay. That's not marriage. Marriage is a covenant. I'm staying. How many of y'all ever heard these vows in the wedding vows? They're not contract agreements. They're what? Vows. Vows are, I will keep these. How many of y'all had these in your marriage vows? I know if I did your wedding, you had these in your marriage vows. For better or worse.
Yeah.
Did any of y'all have that?
Yeah.
Till death do us part.
Yeah.
Now, how many of y'all, after you said those vows, you didn't know worse was going to be the next morning? See what I'm saying? But no matter what, you got to keep the covenant, the contract. One of the things that's loosened us up right now, we're very disappointed in a lot of people that have been in leadership, aren't we? Okay, now watch. Now, don't go crazy about that because they're disappointed in you, too. You know, before you haul off, and I do that, too, before I haul off and start taking everybody else out, I really have to look. I am capable of doing the same things they do. True or false?
Absolutely.
And many of us do the same things they do. We just don't have enough money to do it in such a big way. But it's still the same what? It's the same stuff. How many of y'all have ever told somebody what they wanted to hear? If you're married, I guarantee you, you've done that at least once. How many of y'all have ever done that? You just told them what they wanted to hear because it was easier. Well, guess what? God has a knack of telling us things sometimes we don't want to hear. Now, I hope this happens for you all. We're going to be going through the Bible, God of Promise. I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to be very upfront about this. I hope to destroy every one of you who have, not personally, I hope to destroy the concept that you have in your brain that if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, life is just going to be peachy and easy and smooth, and you're just going to dance with the clouds of the Holy Spirit, and everything is going to be A-okay. Those people you encounter that preach that garbage have never read the Bible. They've never read the book. And what they're doing is preaching to you what you want to hear so they can get in your pocket and get what they want to have. Is that clear enough?
Very clear.
It is amazing to me that all of these prosperity preachers are multimillionaires. It's amazing to me that Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. It's amazing to me that all the great prophets died with nothing. But yet they got it all. They need a jet to do the work of the Lord. So here's the problem you got with your pastor. I'm actually a theologian, not an entertainer. This book's for real. And you ought to read it. It's interesting. We got a God of covenant. We've got a God of promise. Let me tell you something. You better hold on to this because it's holding on to you. We have a God that will never break his promise. Just tell your neighbor, thank you, God. Come on, tell your neighbor, thank you, God. Oh, tell him again. Come on, wake up a little bit. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
See, I want you to know, thank you, God. You never break your promise. You need to be aware. You never break your promise. Even when he calls us to difficult things. First thing I want you to know, God will call your life to difficult things. It's just a part of the process. Hold on. God will never tempt you. He says so over in James. But he will test you. God will test you. Well, why in the world would God test me? So you might know him. I want you to get that. This is all about God. See, Fanny, what we want to do is we want to make the Bible about us. The Bible's not about us. It's about God. We got all kinds of books about us. We need a book about God. We need a book where God is the center of everything. How many of y'all realize he's the center of everything? And God is moving on Abraham to send a promise that's going to bless the nations. I want you to know something. Who gave God his child? Who gave Abraham his child? Who? Could Abraham and Sarah have a baby by themselves? Hold on, there's some points here. Can you have salvation by yourself?
No.
How many of y'all have tried, though?
Yes.
How many of y'all have ever... I used to hear people say this. If you do this, this spiritual result's going to happen. If you do this, this spiritual... Hey, there's people who make billions of dollars trying to create spiritual formulas. Gary, you've seen the books. I can go to the Christian bookstore right now. Four easy steps to having an abundant prayer life. Put that in the fireplace. First of all, they lied. There are no easy steps. There's only steps. and there are steps with God. And they're not easy, they're possible. How many of y'all glad to know it's possible? You better believe it's going to be possible. Now, how many of y'all are a little rattled right now? Y'all look pretty good. Y'all okay? Let me give you some good news. If the world goes to hell, you're not. Hold on, did you hear me? There's a bumper sticker. If the world goes to hell, you're not. Now hold on to that. And when you listen to the news this week, quit getting so wigged out. How many of y'all have eaten beans and taters before? They're pretty good with onions on them. Cornbread. There you go, Jack. Cornbread. Hang on. Hold on to the promise. Now, here's what you've already realized. Listen, don't get so disappointed in people. People don't keep their promise. They don't. You know that. I know that. Why do we get so worked up about that? We know it in the beginning. How many of you all are smart enough to know that any time a politician's running and they're running for election, they never do all the stuff they say they're going to do? You know that on the front end. So don't be what? Disappointed. Elizabeth even knows I'm not going to do all the stuff I tell her I'm going to do on Monday. But God is going to do all the stuff what? He says, now look what happens. He told Abraham he's going to make him a father of many nations, and hear how he does it. Chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Who tested him? God tested him. Abraham didn't test God. God tested what? Abraham. There's only one place God tells you to test him, and that's in tithing over Malachi. God said, test me in this and see. That's the only place. The rest of the time, God's going to give the test. Now, here's the good news. If you know the test giver, then you can trust the test. Abraham knew who was giving the test. It was God. Now, what does that surprise any of you? God's testing a human being. Now, why is he testing him? So Abraham might grow stronger? For one reason. So Abraham knows who the promise is. And I want to remind you, folks, we got to be built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. Because everything else sinks. It'll hold for a while, but it'll eventually what?
Sink.
Most of us really encounter our faith when we lose a loved one. That's when we get right down to it. And we go, wow, there is a God that takes us beyond this moment. That's when it gets real. And God, sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. What kind of relationship did he have with Isaac? A loving relationship. You love this son. You love this son whom you love. And go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. I don't know about you, but that would be a difficult decision. Ed, thank you for speaking up, because that's probably what... How many of y'all could do that? Some of the parents are going, yeah, Ed, no. Depends what they've done that day. No. I want you to see that this is the relationship that God has with us. And I think sometimes what I'm proposing to you today is that we have such a human-based relationship, we really don't understand the depths that God loves us. And we really don't understand how much it means to trust. Who gave Abraham that son? God gave Abraham Isaac. It was impossible for Abraham to have children. Sarah was barren. And God said, I will make you the father of many nations. Abraham believed God's promise. And God's promise was even greater than the reality of his love relationship with his own flesh and blood. Here's what I'm proposing to you, church. We got to wake up. We love our flesh and blood way too much. We think it's all about us. Every problem we have, we come unglued because it makes us what? Unhappy. There's one phrase, or what else?
Depressed.
Oh, Lord, we're the nation of depressed. Depressed, stressed, anxious. Why? I think we wrestle with the promise. Hmm? If He is God, then it's going to be all right. If He is what? You know, you can't knock these kind of people out. Because they believe God will no matter what happens. In church, I want to encourage us, we got to get an Abraham-type faith that says, you know what, wait a minute. God says He wins in the end. God says His church will be without stain or wrinkle, and God will move through. Abraham goes, okay, Lord, we'll do it. Why? He believed God's what? How many of y'all realize you've got a promise in you? You have been stamped, sealed, and delivered with a promise. Jesus Christ said, if you repent of your sins, what's He going to do? What's His exact words? Forgive you of your sin. I want y'all to get to that. You have been forgiven of your sin. How many of you are sinners? See, you got, watch this. Here's what I want you to know. I know the world doesn't have any sin. I know in the world, we think if we vote 51% that there is no sin, it's going to go away. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The majority concept does not affect God's motion. And man, that's tough for me because I'm an American and I grew up an American and I came out of the womb as a American. So guess what I believe? I believe what we think's important. Although I'm waning midway. Here's what I really discovered. What I think most of the time doesn't usually stay very long. In fact, I've noticed over 40-something years of my life, guess what? I've changed my mind a lot. Eleanor, you ever changed your mind? And you're an educated, sophisticated woman that's read a lot of books, but you still what? Changed your mind. Mr. Goff, why in the world do we do education anyway? It helps us what? Change our minds. I'm glad I still don't have the same mind I did when I was 5 years old. And if some of you in your 50s have still got your 5-year-old mind, that's why you're having such a great difficulty right now. You need to let it change. Well, Abraham didn't change his mind about this. He believed God to be the God of promise. He believed that God was going to make him the father of many nations. Why? Not because Abraham was brilliant. Not because Abraham was wonderful. Not because Abraham had a sophisticated degree. But because God told Abraham what? He would do it. Well, Abraham moves in this kind of faith. He gets Isaac together. He gathers the wood for the altar. He builds, watch this because I don't want you to miss this. His faith is demonstrated by the gathering of the supplies. See, I hear this all the time. Listen, you got faith when you put it into it. I mean, it's just simple. Jim Martin, you know who's got faith in our new building? People that are giving to it. Guess what everybody else that's not giving to it's got? I won't say it directly, but that's what it is. They're just mouthing. You know who believes in witnessing? Those who say something to somebody else about Jesus. You see, faith, he goes and picks up the wood. He gets his servants together. He gathers the donkeys together. He gets the fire. And they go to where God tells them to go. Now, there's three things I want you to know here. First of all, don't test yourself. Who's testing Abraham? God. Watch this, the church isn't in the testing business. It's in the testifying business. God's in the testing business, though. Secondly, get together what you're supposed to get together. And go, third, go to where God tells you to go. And you'll find the promise to be there. Well, they get to the mountain. Look what happens. Slide on down here. And to about verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Now, the whole time they were on their way, guess what? Guess what old Isaac was saying? Hey, Daddy, where's the lamb? How many of y'all have ever taken your children on a vacation? Let me help you. Some of you older parents, how many of y'all remember taking your children on a vacation before you had DVDs in your minivan? See, you young parents, y'all got it made. Son, y'all throw them in there, throw a video in, 3 hours later you arrive. I've seen y'all travel. Y'all just travel with videos everywhere. I love it. But I saw somebody, they were just going 3 houses down and they put the video in. You know? But how many of y'all remember, some of you, how many of y'all remember going on a trip as a child? What did you do as a child? colored. What'd you do?
Played games.
All right. Nab, what, Lord God help us. What did you do as a child, Nab?
Watched the gas hand.
You watched the gas hand. All right. Anybody else? What'd you do on a long trip? Keith Martin, what'd you do?
Counted Volkswagens.
Markel, I bet you did something constructive. What did you do as a little kid on a trip?
Counted cars.
Color cars. The colors of cars. Elizabeth, what'd you do?
Fought with your brothers and sisters.
Now that's what I did on trips. The entertainment was really fun until the station wagon pulled over on the side of the road. I know what it feels like when Judgment Day is here. It sounds like a station wagon pulling over in Tupelo, Mississippi. If you've ever been to Mississippi, their roads have road joints in them, and I always knew it was getting close to Grandma's house because it started going, ta-dum, 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 ta-dum. And as long as it was going, ta-dum, 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 things are riding good. It's when you heard, ta-dum, 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 ta-dum. I ain't going to tell you what came after that. Apparently my father was being tested by God. And I was like, Lord, provide another one besides me. But I was guilty. Isaac was not guilty. Hold on. He was promised. Did you catch that? And so God said, I want you to put my promise, Abraham, on the altar. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. On top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What do you call that? We got faith in the mix. What else? Obedience. Anybody else got some words for it? Crazy.
Sacrifice.
It's definitely sacrifice.
You love God.
Knowledge. Knowledge. Abraham knew God. See, sometimes we forget this. Abraham knew God. You see, Abraham knew God put Isaac in Sarah's womb. Abraham knew that. He knew he didn't have anything to do with it, Nathan. He'd been trying for years, and he couldn't get it going on. How many of y'all got the same problem? You've tried to multiply things in your life, and you've come to the point, I am barren. I cannot produce what God desires. Well, after you get frustrated enough, if you'll repent, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, God, I recognize you as a God of promise, and I'm going to quit trying and ask you to multiply you in me. God tends to hear prayers like that. And man, Isaac gets up on the altar, he'd ask his daddy all the way on the trip, where's the lamb, where's the lamb, where's the lamb? Guess what old Abraham kept saying, Nathan? Nathan, you remind me a lot of Isaac, really, to tell you the truth. I thought of you as I was reading this. Because you bug your daddy. I guarantee you on a trip, you talk nonstop. Didn't he, Andy? He talks nonstop now. Nathan, what if your daddy looks at you and says, because I know you'd question him. Andy, did you forget to sacrifice, Dad? It's just like you to forget. You forget stuff all the time. True? What if he kept looking at you and said, Nathan, God will provide. How would you like to get to the end of the story and realize you're the provision?
I wouldn't go quietly.
No. I wouldn't go quietly. I don't know what Isaac did, but he bound him and he laid him on the altar. And it came to the point that he brought the knife up. And as soon as he brought the knife up, guess what? Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
I want to stop there. Because guess what God did provide? He provided the promise. You see, Abraham's promise was connected to the promise of all promises. Abraham, I will make you the father, the descendant, the seed, the starting point of my salvation, mercy, grace, new life forever and ever and ever and ever. I will, says God. I will, says God. Can you imagine Abraham laying his son, bringing the knife up? But you know what I think Abraham knows that I don't know as well? He knew who made his son. He knew who his son was. He knew what his son was about. He knew who gave that son, and he knew who taketh that son away. And then the angel messenger. Pastor Reynolds studied a little deeper, and it says in Hebrews sometimes the connotation with the article, the angel, is actually the Son of Man. So there's a possibility. It could be argued. This just wasn't one of the angels. This is the Son of Man, Jesus Himself, saying, Abraham, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Because as Jesus watched Abraham as a father, he looked as God as a father, and he knew what was to come. The provision is from heaven. And I wanted you to know that God's promise will come through in the toughest of testings. Abraham feared God, knew God, and trusted the promise. May we do the same. Amen. It's very interesting. On this same mount, pretty close, there was a cross laid up. Right to the mount that God told Abraham to go. God put a lamb in the immediate, preparing for the eternal Lamb forever, right on that location. How many of you glad to know that God's got your location? I saw this week, every once in a while I watch TV. Y'all watch TV every once in a while? Y'all do that as humans in America? They had this Google thing, and now they can track your location down. Why any man would want one of those, I have no idea. But you can, I mean, it'll show you where you are at all times. I got to laughing. I said, you know what? I already got a Google on me. I got a God that's better than Google. Because guess what, Eric? Not only does He know where I am, He knows the exact location on the map where I need to be. And if I listen to Him, He'll move me there. How many of y'all can live in a God, but you can trust Him in the most difficult of times? Even if you got to give up a child, hold on. Abraham's not the only father that's ever had to give up a child. Some of you have had to give up a child in here. Some of you through the years have given up a child through war, through conflict, through sacrificial moments. Sometimes our human life stops so the promise of God can go on. If you look, the spiritual greats don't live long. They just live effective. They live impactful. It's not about how long did they stay here. It's about who did they live through when they were here. And so I want to encourage you today, trust God as you promise. How many of y'all can do that? And it's tough. See, I want you to know there's a tough side to God, and I'm not picking on anybody. It's just hard because we've really been taught a kind of a Susie Chapstick gospel in our era of time, hadn't we? Mark Williams' children get sick, yeah. Sometimes daddy gets sick. Has God stayed, though, Mark? When y'all went to the hospital, did God say, nah, I'm out of here, your kids are sick? Or did He say, I've been here all along? Huh? Been here all along.
How many of y'all glad to know God will come through? Well, this morning he'd like to come through. Because the promise to Abraham is in motion right now. Did y'all realize Jesus descended from the line of Abraham? By the way, Abraham's children are still here too. In a little place called Israel. It's an interesting little place. It's about 5-something million of those folk hanging out. Surrounded by 500 million folk that hate their ever living existence. And somehow or another, since 1948, all those 5 million with all their sophistication, their power, their terrorism, their plotting, their conniving, they can't move those folks off that little piece of land. Why? God's promise. I don't care what policy you pass. You're not going to get by God's promise. So be reminded, America. God is not a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, American, a Russian. He's not Asian. He's not Chinese. He doesn't fall in male or female. He doesn't argue the issues we argue. He is the supreme God of all things who makes promises that always come true. God would love, He would love for you to be a part of that promise. Today, some of you all need to step forward for the first time in your life and need to say, or you need to do like Molly did and just run forward. You know what I loved about Molly? Molly, man, she watched. I told Reynolds, I said, Molly got so convinced that Jesus was Lord last week. I mean, she took off running to this altar. If Jeff Reynolds, and Pastor Jeff, he ain't no small brother, is he? If Pastor Jeff had been standing right here last Sunday when Molly decided to follow Jesus, come repent on her sins, if he'd have stood there and hadn't moved, she would have bulldozed him over to get to that altar. You know what you call that? Knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have y'all learned something this morning? Are you leaving here with a little confidence that God will no matter what? You know, I don't know what the economy's going to do. Here, I'm going to give you my economic outlook. It's going to be crazy. But you know what? Where's the confidence of God's people that we can get it done together? Why aren't we looking at each other and say, you know what, we'll get it done together. Steve, you know how to, like, kill cows and stuff, don't you? And Jack knows how to cook them. Looks like we're going to eat. Watch this. I really want you to understand we're going to have to come out of some of our independent, I'm just going to take care of me mentality and really get to, you know what, we're the people of the promise and we're going to live the promise out till God blows the horn. Amen? Just get that mentality. And so you know what? When I try to get all disturbed during the week, I remember something. Wait a minute. I'm journeying through life, first of all, with an almighty God that's given an awesome promise. And secondly, there's some other people in the promise with me. Amen. We're not alone. Amen? And the promise isn't popular. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, it's not going to be popular. Ms. Goff, you found that out, didn't you? You made a stand, and what happened? They all just sent you greeting cards from Hallmark saying, oh, thank you so much. She made a stand. She said, I want my kids in my school under my leadership to have the ability to engage in their spiritual development as well as their intellectual development. Lord have mercy, she had some on her staff that broke into kung fu fighting. And the world was coming to an end. They'd never win another championship. And there they were in a championship game without having to practice on Sunday. Can you imagine? Oh, by the way, talk to Chick-fil-A. Hold on, I'm just giving you some promises. Chick-fil-A ain't hurting. They open today. I didn't think you could stay in business if you didn't open on Sunday and dishonor the Sabbath. Uh-oh. You know what I think we're finding out in America? Every day we journey from this point on. God was serious. He's serious. And he says ridiculous things. Like, go sacrifice your son. But when you know the test giver, then you'll know the test is his too. Isn't that neat? How many of y'all know the test giver? And if not, he'd like to know you today. Would you stand with me? This altar is open. You know, in fact, guess what, Pastor Mark? We didn't plan this, but it's more fitting today the altar be of wood. Because Abraham had to gather the wood to make the... Isn't that cool? By the way, this new altar is really cool. They tell me you can push a button and it just sucks up under the stage now. Billy Lowe told me at 9:12 I'll see that happen. But you know what? Today, how many of y'all want to join the promise that God's already got in store for you? I want you to pray with me because some people are going to be saved today. Some of you need to come and be baptized today. How many of you need to come today and just simply pray this? God, I'm sorry. I've forgotten your just how big you are. Sometimes we need to apologize. It's easy to think it depends on us. Now, hold on. Have anybody heard today that all you do is do nothing and you get there? No, because Abraham had to walk, he had to gather, he had to get the fire, he participated in God's promise. So I'm asking you right now to come participate in God's what? Promise. All right, let's pray. Lord, you know who you want to have join your kingdom today. You already know it. You started a long time ago. You started with Abraham. Really, you started when you said, let there be light. And God, I just pray for every beautiful human being in this place today. Lord, we've all sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But God, we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But that's not what we're here for today. We're here because you're a God that gets past our mistakes. And so, God, I pray right now for anybody that needs to ask Jesus Christ into their life right now. Ask Him, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of the promise. In fact, Jesus, you are the promise. So, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave. And Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. And when you do that forever and ever and ever and ever, you will be in the promise of God. Come on. This is the real deal. Go on to the altar. Go on to the altar. You can go while I talk. And as we pray today, we got folks in here that need to be baptized. You all come today and say, you know what, Pastor? I believed in Jesus, but I want to be obedient to what He asked me to do. Some of you need to come and pray because you're sick, and we need to ask God. God, we'd like your promise of health. So God put that in. This altar's open. Come on, church. Lord, I'd like to lift up the economy of the United States of America. Lord, I ask your forgiveness where we have been greedy, where we have been unwise. And Lord, I ask that you would bring wisdom to all of our leaders, all of the people of influence, God. And that we will follow you like you have made us to follow. God, we pray for Bowling Green. We thank you for the jobs that are available. And Lord, we ask that we would be creative with you and that you would create in us ways to even prosper in a difficult time. You've done that before, God. But most of all, may people see the promise of Jesus in us. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen.